The Peapocket Committee will come to order. Bobby, please call the roll.
Representative Corcoran?
Here.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes, here.
Harrell?
Here.
Hudson?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Magar?
Here.
Nelson? Pasadomo?
Here.
Pigman?
Here.
Robertson?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Here.
Swartz? Stark? Thurston? Stark? Okay. Swartz? Thurston? Trujillo?
Here.
Wood?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. As we begin the meeting, I ask everyone in the room to please silence your cell phones. Members, today we're considering a proposed committee bill for OPS coverage in the state employee group plan. Representative Trio and Representative Magar are presenting the PCB. Representative Trio, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This PCB allows OPS employees who are considered full-time to enroll under PIPAGA to participate in the state group insurance program. And it directs the Department of Management Service requests that the Milliman provide estimates for the health plan that will meet all the requirements of PIPAGA. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Are there questions for Representative Trujillo? Representative Jones, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see in the bill that it says that the coverage period is for January 1st of 2014 to June 30th of 2014. We're only doing this for just that time period.
You're recognized, Representative Trio.
Thank you, Representative Jones. That's the first time that we will accrue a fiscal. It'll renew automatically after the June 30th date.
Follow-up, Representative Jones?
Yes, sir. In the bill, it speaks to how the benefits will be paid out in terms of paying for the benefit itself coming out of the OPS line. Can you tell us why it would not come out of a separate benefits line?
You recognize Representative Trio.
Mr. Chair, if I could direct staff to answer that question.
You recognize them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if the mic's working, but the bill would allow it to come out of the OPS or the salary and benefits, so the budget process would have flexibility as to where the money would come from, what budget line.
Follow-up, Representative Jones.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, what we're doing with the creation of this bill is creating a separate plan for the OPS workers. Can you tell us why you chose to create a separate plan as opposed to rolling them into the existing plans that we have?
Representative Trio.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we were tasked as a committee with multiple options. We could have done absolutely nothing. We could have paid the penalty. We could have capped the amount that OPS employees could work, or we could come up with an alternative. I think this is not the best solution, but it's a solution in order to cover these OPS employees. As far as the cost, we could have opted with enrolling OPS employees, some of whom work 6, 8, 10, 12 hours, helping out at some of the universities in our state, in our benefit-rich package that is offered to the rest of state employees, but the cost would have been astronomical. By this compromise, we're able to offer it to all employees. Even we're not capping employees to work 30 hours, and we're saving, on average, over $2,000 a year per OPS employee.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
In the bill analysis, it indicates that we are paying 50, the employee for individual coverages for career services paying $50, and the state is paying $499.80 for that individual coverage. Based on the proposal that we have before us, you are looking at a $96 payout for the individual and a $317.69 payout for the state. Can you tell us why that is?
You recognized.
I could use the assistance of staff, and if you correct me if I'm wrong. Actually, if I could direct staff to answer this question.
Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was some work done by an actuary to meet the minimum requirements of PIPACA, which would be for an individual plan to be no more than 9.5%, and it was based on the lowest OPS employee of the state. So it would be affordable under PIPACA to all individuals. For the family plan, there's no requirement under PIPACA that it be affordable So the chairman had asked Milliman to do the same proportion of a family plan that the state now pays for a family plan, because we could have gone to zero payment for a family plan and still be in compliance with PPACA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Dudley, you're recognized for a question.
Representative Jones covered my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there additional questions? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
All right. Well, I don't know if we're up to this part yet, but as far as the plan design itself, you know, I see that, you know, we have a list of what the coverage is, but I can't tell. I have no idea whether it's an HMO, a PPO, or deductibles, coinsurance, and, you know, have, you know, whether or not employees, if they want to buy up to a better plan, if they can do it. So are we going to discuss any of those particulars today at all?
Representative Trio, you're recognized.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Clark. We're not going to discuss any of those particulars. We are going to direct the department.
Is your mic on?
I'm sorry. Do you hear me better now, Representative Schwartz? We are not going to discuss those particulars now. What we're doing today is we are removing the caps, or we're removing the language that did not allow OPS employees to receive state benefit plans. That's what we're doing today. We're also instructing the Department of Management Service within the baseline budgets that we're setting to create alternative plans, like you've mentioned, that meet within those financial requirements that we're setting aside today.
Follow up.
But I do see in the information here that we're going to be working based on something, the actuarial value of the silver plan. Am I correct on that?
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question. We're going to be working on the actuarial values of the bronze plan.
Representative Dudley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The simple question maybe to staff as to what's the lowest earning OPS employee make? Does somebody know that?
Minimum wage.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Cummings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Trio, is, I know all of us are aware, the obligations, particularly of us in the legislature, to avoid paying the penalties was to fund the 60% of actuary value of the bronze plan, which this accomplishes. We aren't obligated to contribute to the dependent or family coverage, but I see here that it appeared to be a focus or a priority of viewer this in introducing this committee bill to contribute heavily to the family coverage, when I see that the per month cost would be $136.74. I know from my experience in the private sector that most employer-based plans, I'm sure Representative Stark can speak to this as well, or many times the employee has to pay $1,000 or roughly in that ballpark a month to secure coverage. My point being is that can you tell us a little bit about that in terms of what the commitment was or focus in terms of making the family coverage very, very attractive and affordable to these OPS employees, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but clearly that appeared to occur and what went into that thinking.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's a good policy decision for this committee to include the families, to include those dependent children as far as coverage goes for our OPS employees. I think it's also important to note that we are not obligated to offer it to employees working less than 30 hours a week. And we're, with this PCB, we're making the policy decision that it's important to offer insurance to people that are working those less than 30 hours a week and that are working on their OPS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Schwartz.
Thanks so much. I expected this to be 100 pages, and I'm pleased that it's not, but we'll get there, I suppose. The definition, and I'm sure it's dictated by the Affordable Care Act, but I don't know it, full-time other than personal services employee. So I wondered, what is an other than personal, or what is a personal services employee working for the state do?
Representative Trio.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Schwartz. OPS employees contribute to the state in a variety of capacities. Some of them work in lower-paying jobs as far as helping in seasonal jobs as far as legislative session, and events like that. Some of them are high wage earners that even work in the university and are high executive consultants, you could say, that come in under OPS. So under Florida statute and the way that we're structured is that OPS are they could be full-time, but they're employees that aren't guaranteed administrative due process rights and are brought in more on a temporary basis, even though some of them have been known to stay for much longer than that.
Follow-up?
Just a follow-up. Personal services has a connotation of someone who's helping with your a person with their daily activities of daily living or something like that. That's the impression that I have. I just wondered what kind of services these people might be doing for the state, personal services. Is that something anyone knows, how they pick these words?
I think he just answered that. Do you want to?
No, but I didn't follow that.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure why they pick those words, but I can tell you that some of the services that they do perform are all the way from janitorial to high-end executive management, consulting administration. So everything in between, there are people in OPS that perform those services.
Representative Leader Thurston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just, I don't know if there would be an extreme cost, but as we get the figures for the actuary value of the bronze plan, could we have access to the figures for the silver and the gold plan as well? Representative or Mr. Chair?
We asked Milliman to do the bronze plan. I have to check and see what the Senate did. I think DMS might have done something like that for the Senate at the platinum level, but we can look into that for you later.
And not just the platinum. I know that's the top of the line, but in between the bronze, we've got the silver and the gold. Just want to get an idea of what the difference in the cost would be.
Okay. Representative Wood, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did we, Representative Trejo, did we explore the option of having a two-tiered system for our OPS employees where OPS employees that do not work more than 30 hours per week would not receive any benefits, and then those OPS employees that work more than 30 hours would receive this proposal instead of applying it across the board? And if we were to do that, what would be the numbers then that we would be talking about spending?
Representative Trejo, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Wood. We did explore that as a possibility. I think that would be the possibility of basically, as you said, capping all employees to 30 hours at our OPS, not offering any coverage, and that would be a possibility. If we would cap all OPS employees to 30 hours and not allow them to work anymore, the state of Florida in the first 6 months would save $29 million, and this first full operational year, $55 million, and the second operational year, $60 million. That's a policy decision that this body and this panel could have made. Instead, we decided to go with the alternative of offering coverage to OPS employees, of not capping them first at 30 hours, and offering coverage to all OPS employees regardless of the amount of hours they work.
Follow up.
And I don't know. I guess the question is, do we have the option of having a bifurcated system? Because, you know, if we put ourselves in the position of private employers in the marketplace, they're facing these types of decisions where they have to determine whether they're going to provide coverage to employees working less than 30 hours. And, you know, I understand the necessity of the state having to hire OPS employees and how some are full-time. In the university system, we understand there's a number of them that are full-time, but then there are some seasonal employees that are even, you know, part-time positions where they really wouldn't need to have any benefits. And my concern is based on the fact that, you know, it's easy for us to make these decisions because we're not spending our money. We're spending the people's money. And I'm very, very concerned about setting a standard that is different from that in society? I mean, we just voted in the and I'm getting into debate, I know that, but would you agree that we just voted in the Florida House on pension reform, and it was modernization of our pension to reflect what is done in our society? And here we are again setting a standard that's not going to be reflected in our society, where the government is able, because of our unlimited ability to extract money from the people, the government is setting a policy that almost none of our private employers are going to be able to afford. And so I would ask, can we get some further information on having a bifurcated system where the agency that's employing these OPS would make that decision just like all other employers are making? Hey, I'm going to keep you to 25 hours. I can afford to have you as an employee. If you got to work more, it's going to cost me a lot more, because not only do I got to pay you more salary, I got to pay you these benefits. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mean, Mr. Chair.
We'll definitely look into that. Are there any other questions for Representative Trujillo on the PCB?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rodriguez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cummings raised the issue of the family coverage, and that, as I understand it, the Affordable Care Act ties affordability to individual coverage. So I think what Representative Cummings was asking, I just want to rephrase it, I think part of his statement was that the PCB goes beyond the basic requirements of the Affordable Care Act with respect to family coverage. Is that right?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that's a great question. Our PCB goes further than what's required under federal law by including the family coverage, also by not capping employees and offering it to all employees, even those that work less than 30 hours a week.
Good.
Follow-up.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And my follow-up was going to be to enumerate those areas where you believe this goes beyond the Affordable Care Act, and I think you just did that. But would those be the three areas?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe those would be the three main areas. And I think the most principal or the most obvious one is, if we would cap all OPS employees to 30 hours a week, we would not even have to have this conversation, and that's a policy decision that this chamber could also make.
Representative Harrell.
Thank you. I just have one question concerning the employees who are working less than 30 hours a week, who we would not be required to cover OPS below 30 hours. Is there any potential for us being penalized under PPACA for individuals who are making less than 30 hours but opt out and go to the exchange? Because there is a $3,000 per individual fine if we have people going into the exchange. However, these people would not under PPACA eligible. Do we run the risk of fines?
Representative Trujillo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under our plan, we do not run the risk of fines.
Representative Dudley.
Mr. Trujillo, isn't it true that if you aggregate all these short hours that under 30, that the aggregate it's required to be covered if we have more than 50 employees or whatever, and so there could potentially be fines if you take the aggregate? Some people would try to avoid private employers or whoever might try to avoid having to be covered by PPACA, and they, the scheme would be to have a bunch of part-time workers. But if in fact you aggregate the hours of all the part-time people, that's part of the calculation, isn't it, to decide whether or not you have to cover those employees?
Representative Trujillo.
I think your question is part true and part false.
Okay.
I think what you're referring to is 50 employees. Your question, the premise of it is, can employers circumvent the system by hiring 99 part-time employees and not offering benefits? That would not apply to the state of Florida because we already offer benefits. So the question that we have to make is, are we going to offer those benefits to people working less than 30 hours? That's the question we have to make. If the decision we make as a chamber is to not offer benefits to people making less than 30 hours a week, we will not be penalized under the Affordable Care Act. if we decide to cover people working less than 30 hours a week, it's a benefit that we're concurring or we're benefiting them freely and voluntarily without the risk of penalty.
Any other questions for Representative Trujillo? Representative Stark.
If one of the OPS folks thinks that they can get a better deal buying from the exchange, in other words, they say, well, I think I can do better, do we have any liability? I mean, we've now, you know, afforded, you know, we've already said we're going to give you coverage. Are we, you know, then in the clear? I mean, do we don't have to have any liability or any penalty for that?
Representative Trujillo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is correct. We avoid all penalties by our under our program.
Any other questions for Representative Trujillo? Is there public testimony? Do we have any cards? Any public testimony? We're now in debate. Is there debate? You want to do a second debate, Representative Wood?
Liberty.
Representative Schwartz, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you. Of course, I'm enthusiastic that we are complying with BPCA. And part that I'm not so enthusiastic about is, you know, looking at the least possible way to comply with BPCA. When the spirit of the law is really to do something that Florida, the state of Florida, has been doing ever since I can remember, and that is having good benefits for our employees by valuing them and giving them not necessarily the best, but good health benefits, retirement benefits. You know, the spirit has changed, and I'm not happy about it. So what can I say? I'm actually in quite a quandary about whether to support this. I think I have to support it, but I'm also very concerned that the spirit of old Florida of being having almost a maternalistic attitude toward our employees is going away. And I hope it's not just because we want to stick it in the eye of Washington. Thank you.
Is there additional debate? Representative Cummings, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, clearly Representative Schwartz and Leader Thurston's you know, comments are, you know, are I respect those in terms of offering, you know, more than the minimal essential or the bronze plan. But, you know, I'd like to add that, you know, when we're looking at this fiscal year of about $17.2 million of additional costs that we were not obligated to, as well as over $34 million for fiscal year 2014-15, I compliment Representative Trio and the, you know, in this committee bill because it was, we have, although we have to look at these OPS employees who are now afforded the opportunity to be covered, have also, that's a new expenditure to them as well as the state. So the ability to be able to keep our cost as reasonable as possible with this new expenditure to the state of Florida, Representative Trio, but also keeping it, particularly that family rate, very, very, very reasonable. And as well as the individual rate, I think, is commendable. And in closing, I would just say that if we were to offer a silver or gold or platinum-type plan, Representative Schwartz and Leader Thurston, clearly that would increase our cost at the compromise, I assume, at the confines of the fiscal that Representative Trio and was working with that would make it that potentially the cost would go up to these employees, although they may have a richer plan. So it wasn't an easy task, and thank you. And I think it's something that hopefully everybody can live with. And I know I'm going to support the bill and thought you did a good job under the circumstances that we've had to face with the Affordable Care Act. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Additional, Representative Rodriguez in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I think that what we're doing here with respect to our state employees with essentially complying with the minimum requirements of the Affordable Care Act, I don't think it's something to either celebrate or get worked up about. I mean, I think complying with federal law is simply what we're obligated to do. And so I think that, you know, with respect to the fact that we're implementing the Affordable Care Act, I disagree with the idea that we have different solutions or different options with respect to implementing the Affordable Care Act. I think it's just something that we ought to do. And I think that the reason why I'm happy to support this legislation, though, is that there are some choices around the edges that we didn't have to do. You know, Representative Cummings was mentioning some of them. Representative Trujillo was bringing some of those out with respect to family coverage, with respect to, covering all employees, even if they're not full-time. But I don't look at that as something to celebrate within our implementing the Affordable Care Act. I look at that really more as us doing right by our part-time and temporary workers with the OPS workers. I mean, I think that's something that's been a long time coming, and I think that's the reason why I'm happy to support this legislation or this bill at this time.
Leader Thurston, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, too, will support this legislation, and I think that I'm supporting it because I think it shows that we do value all of our employees and their family, and I think it's the right thing to do. I do, however, want to see the difference in what it would take for us to show them more value, for us to show them, you know, if it's a difference in the price and it's marginal difference, you know, certainly I would think that we would err on the side of doing that for our state employees and our workers that work so hard for us on a daily basis. So I'm going to support this, and I think it's certainly a move in the right direction. As Representative Rodriguez says, it does go a little bit farther than what we're required to do, and that's a good thing. And I appreciate the effort to do that, and I look forward to it, seeing if we can continue to support it and even possibly make it better as we move along. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, will be supporting the bill today. I do think that we've heard some great discussion about some of the positives and some of the cost savings and things that are considered in here. One of the things that I think that we haven't taken into consideration is that with our state employees, whether they be OPS or otherwise, these OPS workers provide a valuable service to us. And in them providing that service to us, if they are sick or their family members are sick, then they're off work. And so there's a value that will be created through offering insurance and primary care being involved and preventative services being involved and helping to educate them on how to use those and maximize those benefits. And so as we move forward through this process, I look forward to us being able to vote for this bill, and then I also look forward to us being able to look at the numbers that Representative and Leader Thurston has requested as it relates to the other plan and plan levels so that we might be able to see if there is something more that we can do. But thank you, Representative, for your bill.
Representative Wood, then Representative Stark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, I also value all of our state employees, including our OPS employees. But we have made a policy decision in the past that OPS employees do not receive benefits. Now, am I hearing that we've disrespected them in the past by not providing them benefits? I don't think so. I think it's just a standard by which society operates. These employees are temporary. They're often part-time. We don't provide benefits to those type of employees. We provide benefits to our full-time employees that have made the commitment to work full-time for their employer. And that's the way it works in the private sector. Now, for me, as a citizen legislator and someone that looks at this job as a part-time employment, someone that is allowed to have full-time employment in the private sector, I don't think it's appropriate for me to get health insurance as a state representative, because I look at myself as really an OPS employee. I'm here for 2 years. I'm here at the will of the people. They can decide whether they want me, they take me away. I'm not making a lifetime commitment to this position. I believe in term limits. So in applying those same principles to these OPS folks, I think that there is a strong argument that we treat them differently. Now, why are we changing the way we treat these employees? A mandate, a federal reform that says, if you don't do certain things, we're going to penalize you. And I'm full in agreement in avoiding that penalty, but we're going way farther than avoiding that penalty. And that's what I think is wrong. I think we're changing our total outlook of how we've treated OPS employees in the past. I think we are going outside the norm of how the private sector treats its part-time employees. And for me, we are a government of the people. We should reflect the norms that exist in the private sector. We're not better than the private sector. The private sector is the people that we need to support, and they are the ones that we need to look up to, and I don't think we're doing it with this policy. So I'm not going to be able to support this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stark, you're recognized.
When it comes to employee benefits, you know, there's never a perfect world. You know, we do have an Affordable Care Act to comply with. These are important employees that perform a good function. The fact that we are willing to offer, you know, family benefits was something that I didn't expect, and you know, very much in favor of. And based on what I see here, you know, I could support this, and I commend Representative Trujillo for doing a good job here putting this together. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dudley in debate.
I'm going to support this bill. I think that if we're going to give better benefits than what this bill does, that we should look at maybe offering to OPS employees the right to buy, you know, move up and improve by their paying in and contributing further if they want to change the metal level that they're at, be it bronze, silver, or whatever. Thank you.
Additional debate? Representative Trio, you recognize the close on your PCB.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to note that we continue to speak about offering silver and gold and platinum and all these things, and we do have a fixed budget. And we can't run a deficit. So if we're going to decide as a chamber to offer a platinum plan, as some of the members have suggested, where do you suggest we take the money from? Do we take it from education? Do we take it from corrections? Do we take it from any of the other areas in which we have to fund? I think the bill before us today is a good bill. I don't think it's a great bill. I think we could still do some more work to get in a position that a lot of us will be prouder of. I think another thing that's important to note is that we're saving through this plan $2,000 per OPS employee. If you ask the majority of those OPS employees, what would you prefer, to have that platinum insurance plan or to have those $2,000 in your pocket? I think we all know what the answer would be.
Representative Trio, having closed, Bobby, please call the roll on PCB SP PACA 1301.
Representatives Cummings?
Yes.
Dudley?
Yes.
Harrell?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yep.
Jones?
Yes.
Magar?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Pesadomo?
Yes.
Pigman?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Swartz?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Thurston?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Yes.
Wood?
No.
Corcoran?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Thank you. Representative Hudson moves the committee staff to make any technical amendments. Unless there's an objection upon the motion of Representative Hudson, the committee shall make any technical amendments. Members, our next step will be dealing with the OIR issues. I think we're scheduled to have a meeting next week, and we'll take up that, hopefully, a PCB next meeting. This concludes our committee agenda. Representative Hudson moves we rise. Unless there's an objection upon the motion of Representative Hudson, the meeting is adjourned.